With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore, and we're happy now to be talking once again with Amesbury High School football coach Colin McQueen. Coach, welcome back, and congratulations on another playoff win.
Hey, thanks a lot, Rick.
It's quite a ride so far, and of course, the names that jump out at you on the paper are the usual, starting with the Sanchez brothers. So why don't we start there? You had a long bus ride out to West Bridgewater last Friday.
Yeah, we did. Traffic made it a little bit longer than we expected even. But the guys did a great job. You know, we had to adjust our pregame, shorten things up a little bit, just kind of adapt to the situation. But that's what happens in the playoffs. You know, you end up taking some long bus trips. We got another one with some highway traffic, I'm sure, this weekend coming up, going down to Burlington High School. But you just got to adapt, and that's what good teams can do. So they did a good job of getting off the bus, getting ready to play, and taking that opening drive and doing what we do, grinding some clock and finishing.
It looks like a complete team involvement in this win, according to Kyle Gaudette in the Newburyport News. I mean, he's got all kinds of players. He even mentioned some offensive and defensive linemen. So let's start with the Sanchez brothers.
Yeah, Max and Michael, you know, it was more of the same from them, but incredible speed. Max was able to bust off a couple of really long ones, one of over 60 and then another one that was close to 80. And the 80-yard run was right on the heel of the first play after a turnover. You know, we were able to turn them over on fumbles twice and recover them. And you know, when you do that against a team that is also a very run-heavy team, that can be demoralizing. And we were able to luckily take over and convert those turnovers into points. And it was just good. You know, overall, I liked how the offense was able to move it, especially since early they were a very tough team. They're a physically tough team, and we didn't have a ton of luck moving it on them early or like super consistently. But we stayed with our plan and we kept the ball on the ground. And when we needed to make plays, we made plays on a couple of third and fourth down plays early on, especially. And then we were able to just kind of gain control of the game.
That gives you great confidence when you make those plays that you really have to make.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me about your quarterback, because an interesting line by Kyle in the paper. He said, you know, not eye-popping stats, but he is a sophomore. And it looks like he does things that coaches see that maybe fans don't see in the stands to help win games.
Yeah. He's a really special player, and we knew what we were getting from Justin at the start of the year. That's why he was able to be the guy that we went to full time. You know, coming into the year, we had Drew Schaldoni, who had split time last year in the offensive backfield and under center. But the confidence that we have in Justin allowed us to put Schal to full time halfback, which unfortunately was cut short with a knee injury. But Justin's been outstanding. You know, just a very steady voice. He makes the right play, handles the ball correctly, and then I think, you know, we haven't had to lean on him a lot in terms of putting the ball in his hands and you know, forcing him to make plays at times in big spots. But on Friday night, he was able to do that just based on what the defense was giving us and wasn't giving us. And in a few big spots, he was able to, you know, both go to the air and then make a couple of go calls around the edge and tuck the ball and make a few guys miss. Really special to see that, and it adds another element to our offense that makes, you know, opposing coaches have to prepare for. Really happy with what we got from him, though.
In terms of teaching, when there is a player, whether it's you know, a sophomore or anybody, who's not getting the statistics, but you see with the coach's eye that the kid is doing what he's supposed to do, having a good game, how do you coach that up in a practice? Because, like, you know, your captains, they know what they do. Everybody knows how good their stats are and so on. But I don't want to call it a marginal player, but there are kids who work and work and work, and they don't get, you know, any – I don't want to say any credit because you give them credit, and I guess that's what I'm asking about.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of what we do surrounds that, you know, that concept of, like, the players who don't get noticed necessarily by the flashy plays or by the statistics or anything else. I mean, our program is built around winning. That's really all it comes down to. Can we work together as a full 11 and execute a team game? It's not about guys flying upfield and getting sacks and making TFLs, you know, on the defensive side of things. And then offensively, it's not about, you know, big chunk plays and pass yards. That stuff happens sometimes based on what we do. And sometimes you can lull the defense into some things and end up popping a long run or hit a pass play over the top. But, you know, Justin's stats are never going to match up to quarterbacks around the league who are throwing the ball, you know, 50 times a game. He gets you know, one to six chances a game, maybe, you know. But he does a great job of managing our offense, and we try to celebrate guys like him, you know, who just do their job correctly, or offensive linemen who, you know, stay on their blocks, mm-hmm. or tight ends who, you know, handle things in the run game and, you know, get to the third level when they're away from the play. There's so much that has to go right on any football team for teams to succeed. But for our schemes especially, it takes 11 guys buying into what we ask them to do and doing it with maximum effort. And Justin's another one of those guys. He fits great into the fabric of what our team is. And I love having him be the voice in our huddle. Really, really happy that we got him for another 2 years after this.
Yeah, pretty cool. I learned a lot from Paul Ingram because he's a close friend, and he ran the wing T. And one of the things he always emphasized was blocking. And he talked about, you know, he's not going to have a running back there who doesn't block. You know, you don't get the ball. Too bad. You got to block. And that team concept works, obviously, because you guys have run it to perfection. And as you say, receivers, they've got to block as well. And for some kids, they don't want to do that. They just want to get out there and be the hero. So, congratulations on the team concept. That's so cool. Coach, two things before we get to this game. This week, there are two things I think that if I were a coach or even a parent of a player, I'd worry about, and that would be distractions and complacency. But I'm guessing you don't have time for any of that. These kids are pretty focused.
Yeah, I really like the way these guys have approached the postseason. Really, you know, week in and week out throughout the entire year, they got a very business-like approach, and I think a lot of that is a product of having been here. You know, there were major expectations that these guys had to shoulder going into the year, because many of them are 3 year starters, and they've been a part of teams that have won quite a bit. You know, we've been a program that every year that there's been a state tournament, because obviously we missed that 2020 season with the state tournament being shut down because of COVID. But every year that we've had a tournament, you know, since 2018, we've been at minimum a quarterfinal team, and we were able to take the step last year and get ourselves into the semifinals, and then, you know, just didn't execute well enough. You know, we didn't play, and the reality is, a team like West Boylston last year, who we ran into, they were a team with excellent team culture, commitment to technique, and like we talked about it in the off season, like that win wasn't decided the week of preparation or the night of the game. That was stuff that was won with a culture of a senior class that they had over there that they established, you know, probably mm-hmm. in August.
Yep,
you know,
yep.
Or maybe even before that. So our guys, understanding that and seeing that firsthand, were able to commit themselves to that, to those same goals and holding each other accountable. And this senior class has been awesome in their leadership, both from the captains and from the supporting cast of leaders. And, you know, I really like where they're at mentally. We don't have to do a lot of redirecting in terms of how they need to look at opponents, how they need to think about upcoming games. So it's another one. You know, we feel like we belong here. We're here for a reason, even though we're a six seed. And we feel that we can compete night in and night out.
Well, that's pretty obvious. And I know a lot of games are, in fact, won in June, July, and August when the kids work out together. That's for sure. Well, Coach, let's turn our attention to the game. You've got number two Cohasset coming up. What's the prep, and what do you see from them?
Yeah, number two in the rankings, and then if you watch their film, it's number two. That's the kid we got to shut down.
Oh, okay.
It's Appleton's one of the best athletes in the state, I think. And they do all kinds of things to get the ball in his hands. They'll split him out. They'll isolate him backside of trips or quads and put him in the backfield, direct snap, put him at the halfback position, whatever it is. But when it matters, the ball's in that kid's hands. That's not to downplay any of the guys that got around him, though. I think the quarterback does a great job of reading the field, making good decisions, throws a good ball, too. They got some pretty athletic linemen that run and stay engaged on blocks. you know, and then some good skill guys around Appleton as well, who both, you know, block on the edge for each other in the screen game. And then when they're the open guy, you know, if you overcommit in one way, they're the open guy, they're going to make the play, they're going to make the catch, and they can hurt you too. So it's another week of understanding scheme and leverage and tendency, and if we run to the football well, I think we can do a decent job. Games like this come down to a couple of stops usually, you know, so we got to try to limit mistakes and try to force as many as we can on the defensive side of the ball, and if we can do that, you know, I think we got a good fighting chance.
How far is it from Cohasset to Burlington?
I don't know how the traffic will be for them coming up from where they're at, mm-hmm. but I think they were, when I MapQuested it, it was around like just over an hour and five, hour and ten or mm-hmm. something.
Yep.
And we're expecting with some traffic anywhere between 45 minutes and an hour.
Yeah.
To get down there. So
okay.
Good midpoint.
All right. Yeah. Another bus ride for each of you guys. Okay. Colin, thank you so much for taking the time this week once again, and good luck, man. I hope we can talk again.
All right. I appreciate it.
Thank you, coach. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, that is Colin McQueen, who is the Amesbury High School football coach with MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore.